I next met with Dr. Tim Gretton, and to begin, I asked him to discuss a paper that he was an author on, Adjuvant Treatment of Hepatocellular Carcinoma, Prospects for Immunotherapy, and to comment on how frequently community-based oncologists encounter patients with HCC who require adjuvant treatment.
It's certainly not a very common scenario in general. Now, in HCC, I would still think it's actually a little different. And the reason really is that, number one, as you know, we do screening. Patients with cirrhosis undergo surveillance, so we do find patients with early disease. Once you have patients with early disease, you know, we have curative treatment options, surgery, radiofrequency ablation, which are very, very effective and lead to very good outcomes, five-year survival rates of greater than 50% if you limit yourself to patients with small tumors. So I would say, yes, we do find patients that come to our clinic and ask for the potential use of adjuvant treatment in HCC.
It's interesting, though, and I was thinking about this, when you said that you refer not only to post-op, post-surgery, but post-local therapy like TACE?
No, more radiofrequency ablation. You know, nowadays, radiofrequency ablation is just as effective as surgery, okay, and it's widely used.
Okay, so that makes sense, radiofrequency ablation. But I don't know whether you would call it adjuvant, since I guess it's really not curable. But the typical situation where a patient presents with HCC and has disease confined to the liver but not considered curable, what about, would you consider that adjuvant therapy?
Well, you know, obviously what you're referring to is a patient with more than five lesions, large lesions, undergoing transarterial chemoembolization. And, you know, even with the best treatments, we've got to be honest, this is still, in most cases, a palliative treatment. And then it becomes very, very difficult for a medical oncologist and a specialist like mine, even very interesting, because the question is, how are we going to sequence different types of treatments? In other words, when are we going to do TACE? How long are we going to TACE? Are we going to add a systemic treatment to the TACE? In the past, all these attempts have been negative. There have been studies using sorafenib that we've used for many, many years in HCC. Those studies were all negative in the adjuvant scenario in combination with TACE. So now the question comes up, you know, should we potentially use the TACE in combination with immunotherapy for different reasons?
Well, the other thing is, as soon as I saw the initial data that just came out with the atezolizumab, bevacizumab, one of the first things I was wondering about, believe it or not, was not just whether it was going to affect first-line therapy, but whether it was going to affect the timing of local therapy like TACE. And, you know, we never really, I don't think, have had a systemic therapy that caused a substantial number of objective responses, I don't think.
No, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, if I may add, there is actually a lot of reasons why this combination may be very effective, other than that you observe responses with a systemic treatment. But one of the things that a lot of people overlook is whenever you perform a TACE and perform an embolization, there is a VEGF shower after the TACE. Because what you do is you induce severe hypoxia in the tumor. All the beads will occlude feeding vessels, so patients develop severe hypoxia in the tumor. And then what happens is that a lot of cytokines, and one of them being VEGF, are being released as a response to this. We do know that this is actually leading to the growth of feeding vessels from other areas so that the tumors can survive. So it would make indeed a lot of sense to combine a treatment targeting VEGF with a TACE procedure.